Blessings to Israel presents Discerning the Times, a program committed to encouraging you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please join us for today's program.
Welcome to the program. So glad to be with you once again this week as we come together to discern the times by viewing life through the lens of the Bible. I want to talk to you today about deluding spirits. And unless you have been living in seclusion, you certainly know that there are spirits that are bringing about delusion upon our land. And so today I want to share with you several clips of pastors and different individuals who were speaking to this very topic. So I want to begin with Dr. Taryn Dames. He is the senior pastor of North Dallas Community Bible Fellowship, and he is speaking on this topic of deluding spirits.
Every time you take God out of something and believe it's a political thing, Satan is just laughing. Gotcha. Why? Because he's setting up his system. When you remove God from culture, you have a godless culture. And that's what the beast craves. That's what he desires. It says, but God will give them. God will send a deluding spirit. Why? Because they're already rejecting God. Sort of like Romans chapter 1, right? They refuse to accept the worship of the creator, and they worship the created thing. So he gave them over to a depraved mind. He said, okay, have your way. You don't want me? See what life is without me. Now that's the same thing what it said in Proverbs chapter 1. That he calls and he calls and he calls and he calls, and we don't answer, we don't answer, we don't answer. We put it off, we put it off, we put it off. He says, when your whirlwind come, when your destruction come, when desolation come upon you, and you call on me, I will not answer. What? He says, because you rejected me when I called you. Oh. He says, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Now, here's what the deluding spirit does. Let me make it clear. This is definitely a demonic deluding spirit if a man believe he can become a woman. I'm saying that because that is the cultural norm today, and Christians are sitting back accepting this perverted foolishness. And I'm like, where's the outcry of the saints? We can picket for black lives, that matters. But what about Christ and his holiness? How is it that we can take up the mantle of cultural things, but when it comes to the holy thing, we sit back like we're scared? I'm like, wait a minute. Are you more black than Christian? Are you more white than Christian? I mean, I said that before because for some people, that's a truth that they deny. Why don't I see Christians standing up for Jesus? When all these immoral things, individuals are literally trying to destroy the image of God. Watch what they say. You can become whatever you want to be. Oh, you can choose your gender. What kind of foolery is that? Like, so now you took like 6,000 years of biology, and biology doesn't make sense anymore. You have to get rid of truth and accept a lie. The truth is XYXX chromosome. That's it. Nothing else. You can put it in a box of Fruit Loops and still come out the same thing. Doesn't matter the flavor of the rainbow you are. It doesn't matter how you feel. You can feel like a chicken or feel like a duck. You're still XX or XY. So why do we engage that? And guess what? Here's the delusion. Our family members come and we love them, but they want us to accept their blatant immorality. So here's what they're telling you. Choose me or choose God. Oh, you didn't know. That's how Satan comes. Choose me or choose God, because basically that's what they're saying. And then because you love them more than you love God, you give in. No, that's that deluding spirit.
Folks, this is the type of truth telling that is so rare in pulpits today. Because in the average pulpit, what you're going to hear is someone giving the message of what the Bible calls is something that tickles itching ears, something that makes you feel good. You don't hear messages about repentance, about sin, calling out sin. And the reason for it is there are so many that they don't want to offend people. They want to be liked. But folks, we have to remember that Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, this is the type of truth that he spoke. And a lot of people hated him for that. The prophets of the Bible, when God called prophets, their messages were messages of repent from sin. They didn't come to tickle itching ears, and therefore people hated the prophets. They did not like them in many cases. But what we need today is pastors like Dr. Taryn Dames of North Dallas Community Bible Fellowship that is going to stand up and speak the truth. Well, there's another voice out there because God has a remnant by the name of Bishop Patrick Wooden. He is the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. I want you to hear what he has to say concerning God holding us responsible for what we know.
Americans are in trouble. Because Americans cannot justifiably say to God, I haven't heard it. In America, the gospel is everywhere. We have a church almost on every corner. The word of God is streamed. The word of God is beamed. The word of God is on radio. It's on television. It's in books. Bibles are everywhere. It's everywhere. Amen. We're inundated with it. As a matter of fact, we have so much word that we tend not to pay attention to it. But I want you to know that God holds us responsible for what we know. And he holds us responsible spiritually. He holds us responsible physically. He holds us responsible politically. In every way. See, what we know is supposed to affect what we do. How we behave, how we vote. Last Sunday, I preached a message titled Motivated by Molech. Isn't it amazing that our country has gone from, you know, there was a time where if a person did have an abortion, they didn't tell anybody. We've gone from there to at least three sitting U.S. congresswomen who basically came out with their own personal business and shared their own personal story, telling how they had their abortions and how the context of it was, and I ended up in Congress. How wicked can you be? God's holding us responsible for the lies and the things that have been told. I do want to say this. Yesterday at the clinic, everybody that was there to have an abortion kept their baby because the doctors got hit so hard. You know, these abortion doctors don't do it out of the goodness of their heart. The people who go to the clinics are there out of the goodness of their hearts. The people who fight for the lives of the unborn are there out of the goodness of their heart. People who perform these abortions and all that are paid. Their money had been hurt so bad, the doctor just didn't even show up Saturday. So everybody kept their baby. Amen. Doctors, I'm not going down there. Amen. We've had several doctors to quit. We used to have one to drive down from D.C. in his bad Lexus. Whatever color it was red. It was red with the blood of dead babies. And we made it not worth his while. He quit. Can you imagine being a doctor, a caregiver, and you use the blood of dead babies to finance your vacation, your summer home? So you and your family go and have a good time. But you make money on that. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me, I'm sure that you know, you knew where you were coming. Amen. I can't, you know, when you gonna leave it alone when I'm dead and gone? I've got to do this. Proverbs tells me that I must be a voice for the voiceless who are appointed to death. They have no one or they have few to talk for them. So we must speak.
The bishop's conviction is, I have to speak truth. If I know that evil is taking place, I have to speak it. And when they ask him, when are you going to let it go? He says, I'm not going to let it go. Not until I'm dead and gone. So what about you, Christian? Do you have that conviction that you are going to stand for the truth? You're going to speak the truth, regardless of what it costs. Because as the bishop said, he was right. God holds us responsible for what we know. Imagine there is a mother who is in the grocery store shopping and she has her 2-year-old with her. And as she's going about shopping, she has her head turned. She's looking at products. And this 2-year-old grabs a candy bar and opens it and eats it. Now, there's a store security guard that is standing there watching. Now, let's say the same two people, the mother and the toddler, they're going through the store. And let's say the mother opens a candy bar and starts eating it right there in the store, never having paid for it. And the security guard witnesses it. Do you think the security guard is going to come down on that 2-year-old for eating the candy bar in the same way that he would for the mother? Do you think he's going to come to that 2-year-old and say, little Johnny or little Susie, you have to pay for this candy bar? Of course not, because a 2-year-old doesn't know better. They don't understand that I have to pay for this first. But a grown woman does understand. And so therefore, she is going to be held responsible for paying for the transgression that she committed. And in the case, of course, with the child eating it, then the mother also is still going to be responsible. They're going to say, this is your child, so you have to pay for this. But the point that I'm trying to make is that we are responsible for what we know. And there are people out there who claim Christianity. They claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet they will go into a voting booth and vote for candidates who are in favor of legislating abortion, that a woman is allowed to take the life of an unborn child. The Bible says we are going to be held responsible for what we know, just as the bishop stated. So there's more from Bishop Wooden as he is speaking on the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative.
The name of the proposal is the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative. I'm going to begin by saying this. And if you don't remember anything else I've said today or remember nothing else I say in life, you must remember this and that Jesus saves. Let me tell you something. These people are no good liars. You know why they're no good liars? They're is no reproduction in abortion. They're liars. They're liars. There is no reproduction in abortion. Words have meaning. Look up the word abortion. Look up the word reproduction. They are as different as the East is from the West.
The bishop is right. Words have meanings, and there are people out there today because of their wicked agendas. They are trying to change things around. They're using crafty terminology to further an agenda that goes against the ways of God. But folks, we as believers in Christ must be willing to stand up, must be willing to speak the truth, because there are deluding spirits that have descended upon our land. We're going to pause for a brief announcement, but on the other side of the break, we'll be back with more from Bishop Patrick Wooden and more concerning this topic, deluding spirits. You are tuned into Discerning the Times.
You are tuned into Discerning the Times. If you believe in what we stand for, would you consider partnering with us? Our partners program is based on Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you. For a recurring donation of $12.03 per month, you can help us share the message of Discerning the Times as we await our Lord's return to Israel. For more information, please visit our website, blessingstoisrael.com, or write to us at Blessings to Israel, P.O. Box 266, Knightdale, North Carolina, 27545. Now, let's return to the conclusion of today's program.
Welcome back to the program as we are today looking at the topic of deluding spirits. And folks, there are some out there that when they hear us talk about these topics, they say, well, you seem to be always in the sky is falling type of mindset. And that is not the mindset that I am in. I'm actually in the mindset of Jesus Christ is coming again. And it is my desire to wake up as many people as possible to get them ready so that they are prepared for the return of Christ. Because he told us these would be the things to look for before he comes back to the earth, before he takes us to be with him. And so that is my heart. That is my desire. I am not at all worried about how everything is going to end, because the Bible tells us the end of the story. But it is my desire that others would come to know the truth and stand for the truth of the word of our Almighty Lord. So let's continue to listen to Bishop Patrick Wooden again of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. He's the pastor there, continuing to speak on the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative.
Abortion is subtraction. It ends a life. It doesn't reproduce anything. It is the artificial interruption of a natural process. Abortion. Y'all say amen? Amen. Two people go into the clinic to have a baby. One come out. How's that reproduction? If she's pregnant with twins, three walk in. One walk out. Well, somebody tell me, how is that reproduction? So why do these people call it reproduction? It's designed to fool the simple. To make you think that some rights, ladies, are being taken away from you. It is a woman should have the right to control her reproduction. And I agree with that, 100%. The only problem is there's no reproduction in abortion. Now, when you go home today, I know you will, just look it up. Go get all your dictionaries. Call your mama. The only people who will tell you that reproduction, that abortion, that there's reproduction in abortion is Planned Parenthood. And then they'll tell you, come and kill your baby. A yes would support providing a state constitutional right to reproductive freedom. If it was so right, why do they keep using the word reproduction when there is no reproduction in abortion? You would think by this, the name of this, that these people are pro-life. They are not. They are for ending the life of an unborn human being. For a human being cannot carry anything other than a human being. Humans can't give birth to lizards. Humans can't give birth to dogs. Humans can't give birth to snakes. Humans can only give birth to humans. A female womb can only carry a person. Or two, or three, or four, maybe five. But they can't carry one chicken or one bitty. Humans can't do that. But look at this, reproductive freedom, which is defined as, quote, the right to make an effectuate decisions to make and effectuate decisions about all matters relating to pregnancy, including but not limited to parental care, childbirth, postpartum care, contraceptives, contraceptions, sterilizations, abortion care, miscarriage management, and infertility care. Now, what these people are trying to do, if this law was to pass, and they're doing it because Roe was overturned, one of the things, parents, is that they're trying to get this thing done where there will not be parental consent, won't be necessary. Now, how many of you parents think that's a good idea? There's something wrong with these people.
Folks, there are lawmakers out there that are trying to promote wickedness. That's exactly what it is. And I praise God for raising up men like Dr. Taryn Dames and Bishop Patrick Wooden that are true warriors of the faith, that are speaking truth and encouraging us to be bold and to stand for what's right. That is what we so much need with these times that we're living in. Now, I have to shift gears now, because on the other side of those who are promoting wickedness, that is also happening in churches today. So where I want to begin is sharing a clip from Stacey Abrams. She is the gubernatorial candidate in the state of Georgia. She is speaking at Allen Temple Woodstock Church in Woodstock, Georgia.
We live in a state that right now has decided to take cruelty to a new level. I am the daughter of two pastors. I have a strong moral core. I was trained to read and understand the Bible, and I will tell you this. There is nothing about the decision to eliminate access to abortion care that is grounded in anything other than cruelty and meanness and danger in the state of Georgia. Nothing. Abortion care is a medical issue. It is a medical decision, and in the state of Georgia, it is a dangerous one. Brian Kemp, and yes, I'm going to call his name, is a hard right religious extremist who has decided that he knows better than any woman about her body and has decided to make women second-class citizens in the state of Georgia in the year of our Lord, 2022.
So after hearing all that great truth speaking by Pastor Dames and Pastor Wooden earlier in the program, now we see the other side of the aisle. Stacey Abrams, she's not a pastor, she's not a minister, she is a gubernatorial candidate, but she's in a church speaking of wickedness, promoting abortion. And let me also state from a report, this is what Stacey Abrams also said at an event at the Ray Charles Performing Arts Center in Atlanta. Abrams claimed that the sound of such fetal heartbeats is manufactured by men seeking to take control of women. She stated, quote, "There is no such thing as a heartbeat at 6 weeks. It is a manufactured sound designed to convince people that men have the right to take control of a woman's body," end quote. Folks, you talk about deluding spirits. Now, having heard that, I want you to now listen to Reverend William D. Watley, the senior pastor of St. Philip AME Church in Atlanta, Georgia, encouraging the men to vote for Stacey Abrams.
Would all men stand? All men stand. Thank you for your presence. And I'm asking you to stand because, as has already been announced, voting matters, and this is a very critical election. And the stats so far are showing that we as men are not voting as we should for Stacey Abrams. We're the head. And if we're the head of our houses and our families, we cannot lead from behind. On her worst day, her absolutely worst day, she's 10 times better than Brian Kemp. And so I'm asking you, brethren, that wherever you go, whoever you touch, that you inform the rest of us that it is critical that we do our part and get a governor who we know will support us.
So what we have here is the twisting of scripture to manipulate men to support a candidate that is in favor of immorality, that is in favor of taking the lives of unborn babies. Before I run out of time, I want to share one last clip from, again, Reverend William D. Watley, and he's speaking on making sure that Stacey Abrams and Raphael Warnock win their elections.
But we need to do our part to make sure that Stacey Abrams is elected governor and Raphael Warnock is elected senator. We do not need a lying scalawag who has already sold his soul to a white anti-black establishment representing us in Washington, D.C. And so this is William Wadley talking. And as your pastor, I ask that you listen to me. And many of you are more astute than I am. And you know I'm telling the truth. God bless you and God keep you. Amen.
So you see the stark contrast from the pastors in the beginning who are standing for the truth of God's word versus those who are influenced by deluding spirits, encouraging the people in the church to support candidates that embrace immorality, candidates who have made it clear that the laws that they will vote in favor of are laws that are going to go against the word of God. And that is where we are today, folks. And we've heard so much about Christian nationalism as if that's such a bad thing for Christians to speak up for the word of God when it comes to voting. But apparently it's not a problem when what is being stated in church favors the left. But we're in a time in which we need to be bold. We need to not fear. We must stand for the word of God. Well, folks, we are out of time for this week, but I want to thank you for tuning in. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. As I said earlier, these things are letting us know the time is building towards the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That excites me so greatly. But I also have the desire that not just I go to be with him, but I want all of us to go be with Jesus Christ. And so I share these things because we are going to be held accountable and responsible for what we do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must receive him in order to inherit eternal life. So please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to discern the times by viewing life through the lens of the Bible. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel, and to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Discerning the Times. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.
Discerning the Times is presented by Blessings to Israel.